Have you ever heard someone knock on your door like this? Sure you have. And without checking it, you just open the door, completely unaware that danger could be on the other side. In many places, it's rare if the peephole is ever checked. Occasionally, Satan simply knocks on the door of our minds and hearts, just like a friend would, and entices us to open the door without considering what could happen, enticing us with great temptation. But how are we supposed to respond when this friendly knocking occurs and those subtle temptations arrive? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today we want to look closely at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness from Matthew chapter 4 and discover what Jesus did when the devil came knocking. That's the title of the lesson today. If you miss any of this message today, you'll want to go to fromhisheart.org to listen again. Right now, let's learn what to do when we hear that friendly knock.
Matthew chapter 4, the scripture says this in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him. What can we learn about temptation from the temptation of Jesus? Four lessons that I want to share with you. Lesson number one, key lesson. What do we learn? We learn this. The devil often comes at us right after a great victory. Right on the heels of a great victory, the devil looks to pounce. You say, well, how does that say that this was on the heels of a great victory? Because chapter 3 of Matthew ends with the baptism of Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You talk about a high watermark in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was right there. Wow. I mean, how amazing. And that was the beginning of his ministry. Well, he started off on a spiritual high, and you go from a spiritual high to a spiritual attack, just like that. Life tends to be like that. You know, the devil only has one purpose. Jesus said his purpose, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he's coming to do. That's his design for you, for your marriage, for your family, for everything about your life, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he prowls about and he will not stop, and we're going to deal with the devil until we die or until Jesus comes back to get us in the clouds. So he's always on the prowl. What's the pathway to victory over the devil? Well, it says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Jesus told the disciples, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The way you combat the fact that the devil is prowling about is to watch and pray. Be connected to God, be praying and talking to God, and look around and don't let your guard down, because when you let your guard down, boom, that's when he attacks. Now, the Lord had been fasting for 40 days. He had been praying and he had been fellowshipping with the Father. He was ready. He was prepared when the devil came at him with his temptations. So that's the first lesson. The devil often comes right after a great victory. Lesson number two, the devil subtly tempts us to meet our own needs. Now, here are the temptations. There are three of them that are recorded. This is what the Bible says. And the tempter, verse 3, came and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you are the Son of God. Now, you can read that and say, well, was the devil trying to make Jesus doubt that he was the Son of God? No, that if can be translated since. And Kenneth Wiest, who's a Greek scholar, translates verse 3 this way. In view of the fact that you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, I want you to think about this temptation for a minute. It's the first temptation that came to Jesus. When he's hungry, when he's physically weakened, hey, well, man, if you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, why would you stay hungry? You're the Son of God. You have power to do something here. Why don't you just command these stones to become bread? You have a need, and Jesus, why don't you meet that need? Now think about this for a minute. What's the sin in doing that, in meeting your own need? I mean, if you have it in your power and you've been fasting and you can do something about it, what is the sin in that? So here's Jesus and the temptation comes. Well, how could that be a sin? Here's the sin. Here's what the devil wants him to do, and he's subtle. The scripture says about the devil, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so the devil tries to get him to use his power to meet his own needs. Don't depend upon God, Jesus. Use your power to meet your own needs. The devil wants you and me to doubt the loving provision of God. He works hard so that you doubt God and you doubt that God's going to provide for you. And so he tempts us in the area, so often in the area of the physical, so that we just say, well, you know, God's not coming through anyway. And so, yeah, I have the power to do this. Now, none of us in this room have the power to turn stones into bread, but we have power to do things. And if we don't wait on God, and if we don't trust God, and if we begin to doubt that God's going to provide for our needs, we're tempted to step out and do something that we shouldn't do. When you get to the place where you're like, well, I better jump on this. I better do what's in my power to meet my needs. Don't do it. Trust God's loving provision. Lesson 3. Not only does the devil subtly come to us and tells us, hey, meet your own needs, but he subtly tempts us to put God to the test. Look at verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The first temptation was to not trust God. The second temptation was to trust God on steroids, to trust God in a perverted way, to presume upon God, to get God to do something that God never intended to do. Hey, when the devil comes at you and at me, he'll misuse Scripture, so we'll presume upon God. You say, what does that really mean, presume upon God? It means that you treat God like he's your personal genie, like God's a lucky rabbit's foot. He's somebody that you say, well, God, I got my ox in a ditch, and now you're going to have to get it out. You just step out on things that aren't the word of God, that God never called you to do, that God never intended for you to do, and you step out, maybe it's financially, you get yourself way overextended, and you say, well, how come God's not coming through? It's because God never told you to do that, and God's not going to be your bailout king. He's not going to be your lucky rabbit's foot. There's a great story, 1 Samuel chapter 4, that shows how God doesn't operate this way. 1 Samuel chapter 4, the people of Israel were in a battle with the Philistines. You read in 1 Samuel, they're always fighting the Philistines. Goliath, big Philistine champion, David fought him, but always fighting. So 1 Samuel chapter 4, they're fighting the Philistines, and they're losing to the Philistines. And so they don't know what to do, and then somebody gets the bright idea that says, hey, let's go back to Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant is. You know, that box, that chest that has the Ten Commandments in it and the jar of manna and Aaron's rod that budded it. That symbolized the presence of God. Let's bring God into the battle. And so they went back. The priests, Hophni and Phinehas, who are godless men, they went back and they brought the Ark of the Covenant. And when they brought the Ark of the Covenant, man, you could have heard the cheers for miles. Yeah, we're going to win. I mean, here, we got God in a box here. And the Philistines, they heard the shout, and they got scared. They're like, this has never happened to us in battle. I mean, they got God in a box over there, and how are we going to handle this? And so they got really scared, and then one of the Philistines stood up, and he says, hey, this is a tough situation for us, but hey, you Philistines, act like men and fight. And they did. And the Philistines fought. And Israel was routed. The scripture says 30,000 of them fell that day. And the Philistines took God in the box back to their homeland and put him in the temple of Dagon, the fish god, to show that their God was greater than the Israelites' God. Hey, listen, you think you can use God like he's some genie in a bottle? You can't. God's not like that. You can't put the Lord your God to the test. You can't jump off of the pinnacle of the temple and say, well, God has to do this because this is what the Bible says. God never intended you to do that. He never told you to do that. I was thinking about how Peter walked on water. You know the only way Peter walked on water? He had to first get permission. He had to say, Lord, if it's really you on the water, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. If he had tried to just walk on the water and Jesus hadn't said, come, he's going to be sinking. You think you can do that? Say, well, Peter walked on water, I'm going to walk on water. Jesus hadn't said, come for you. You try and walk on water, you'll sink. Because you can't put God to the test. And so the devil wants you to do that. He'll misuse scripture so that you treat God like he's your genie. Listen, the pathway to victory is know God's word and yield to him. When he misuses scripture, he knows the scripture. When he misuses it, Jesus said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus used scripture back at him. Now, the devil will try and take scripture and twist it around and turn it around and take a text out of its context to try and prove something to you. You have to know the word of God so that you're not deceived. Know the word and yield to him. Hey, God is not your genie in a bottle who comes out and says, yes, master, what can I do for you? God is the master. So you yield to him. You do what he says. You don't get yourself in trouble and then say, well, God, now you have to bail me out. God, I jumped off the pinnacle of the temple 450 feet down to the rocks. And on the way down, now, God, you're going to have to show up and protect me. God doesn't work that way. So that was the next temptation the devil gave to Jesus. And so the lesson we learn there is know his word and yield to him. And lesson number four, the devil subtly tempts us to compromise with God's plan. Look at verse 8. And the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus, you're the Son of God. I mean, what does the Bible say about the Son of God in Psalm chapter 2, about the Anointed One? The scripture says in verse 7, thou art my Son. God the Father says this, thou art my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, the very ends of the earth as thy possession. That's God the Father speaking to God the Son. Now the devil knows Psalm 2. The Jews knew Psalm 2. Psalm 2 was about the righteous reign of the Anointed, about the righteous reign of Messiah. And so here's the thing. How was Jesus going to have the nations? He was going to have to go to the cross. He was going to have to die on the cross and pay the price for sin. And so here the devil comes to him, and he's subtle, and he says, listen, the Father's going to give you all the nations, but at what price? You have to go through all this suffering to do that. And so here's my deal. I have all the nations. You know, when Adam sinned, he lost his dominion, he lost his authority, and it went to the devil. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And so the devil says, I have control over all these nations, and I'll give them to you. You won't have to do the cross. You don't have to do the suffering thing. Let me give you a shortcut. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. That's all you have to do. Satan always wanted to be worshiped. But here was the ultimate worship. God the Creator worshiping Satan, the fallen creation. And that's what he asked the Lord to do. And the temptation was, you don't have to do all this suffering to get what you want. We'll just team up a little bit here, Jesus. I mean, quit fighting me. Let's work together and we'll be teammates. You mark it down. The devil always promises a shortcut to the will of God. Shortcut for you. Hey, you don't have to do all that stuff. There's a shortcut here to get what you want. But we know that no shortcut ever works. I'll give you all this glory if you'll just bow down and worship me, if you'll just take a shortcut, if you'll just go the easy way. Listen, when it comes to the will of God, the plan of God for your life, there is no easy way. It's God's way. You go God's way, and then it will work out. If you go the devil's way, you will derail your train. And if Jesus had fallen in any of these temptations, he couldn't be the Savior. And if Jesus couldn't be the Savior, you couldn't go to heaven. And in any one of these temptations, if Jesus had failed, we'd all go to hell. All of us. He had to succeed, and he did succeed. And the scripture says we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:18 that he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted because he took temptation to the hilt. And this temptation, the most damning of all. Hey, this is a shortcut to the will of God. I had a friend of mine that I've known for a long, long time. We had reconnected as friends a couple years ago. And he was talking to me about the ministry. And he was saying to me, I guess he had listened to some sermons and stuff. And he said to me, he said, you know, I got a suggestion for you. He said, I've been watching this other preacher on TV. And man, he's just so much more encouraging. And he's just got a positive message for the masses. And he doesn't ever try and make it hard line about you have to believe in Jesus. And you know, he doesn't talk about sin or anything else. He said, Jeff, you know, if you would soften your message some and just kind of broaden the tent pegs and just kind of opened it up to people. He said, I think you'd be a lot more successful. And I said, well, maybe so, but here's the thing. One day I have to stand before God. He's told me in his word, I solemnly charge you before God and before Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and by his coming. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and all understanding. I said, I don't have a choice. I have to preach this book, and this book hurts. And hey, if you want to preach a milquetoast gospel and just build a big crowd, then that's between you and God. That's not what God's called me to do. I'm not going to shortcut things. I'm not going to be in league with the devil. Too important. It's too important. Some of you are here, and you know what you're doing? You're compromising with the devil. You're saying, yeah, that's right. You want a husband? Yeah, I want a husband. Well, I can give you a husband, but you're going to have to sleep with him during your dating time in order to get him, you know, to say, I do. Oh, okay, I'll do that. How does that work? Doesn't work at all. Hey, what's the pathway to victory? Keep your focus on glorifying God. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Only. Keep your focus on glorifying God. Hey, when you're tempted, here's a great question to ask yourself. Does this thing I'm tempted to do, does this glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Does this glorify God? Could it ever glorify God to bow down and worship Satan? Well, of course not. Does it ever glorify God to take the cheater's way out? To say, well, I'm going to get ahead in business by cheating? I don't care if everybody else is doing it. Cheating is cheating. Are you compromising in your life? Compromising with the devil, thinking that it's okay, thinking that you're going to beat the system, thinking that somehow you're going to be the one that gets ahead. You make friends with the devil. He's not your friend. Well, who is he? He's the Terminator, and he doesn't stop. And he will deceive you so that he will devour you. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Go with God, because God will meet your needs, because God loves you. And how does this story end? Verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. He was hungry. Angels came with angel food cake, and he, maybe, and and they ministered to him, and God the Father met his need because Jesus trusted his Father. Hey, listen, I don't know how the devil is knocking at your door, but I do know this. You have the choice when the devil knocks at your door to let Jesus, who lives in you, answer the door, and the devil will flee from you.
Well, what a great suggestion. But it's not really a suggestion. It's mandatory to avoid falling into the devil's trap. An insightful lesson from God's Word on dealing with the temptations that come at us from so many different directions. Today's message is called, When the Devil Comes Knocking. We heard part two today. If you missed part one, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. And also, you can download a free MP3 of the broadcast, or any broadcast, as well as Pastor Jeff's sermon outlines. Of course, if you've been with us all month, you know that Pastor Jeff Shreve has been speaking about the lies of the devil and how they ensnare us. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, in devious ways. So we have to educate our minds, hearts, and spirits about how Satan weaves his webs of deceit. And proclaiming the truth of God to counter the lies of the devil is our mission here at From His Heart. And to do that, we depend on the support of our listeners, as Pastor Jeff is only a volunteer for this outreach, receiving no income from anything given to this ministry. For your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's 8-message series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. This resource will be invaluable to you as you learn to spot the devil's tricks and defeat them and run from them. To get fake news, simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Our prayer is that these messages this month have been an encouragement to you in your walk of faith. We also hope you'll be continually reminded of how God is using you to further His kingdom, and that you'll step out in faith through your prayers and gifts to help Pastor Jeff reach people all over the world with this message of truth, love, and hope. God bless you. We also hope that you'll visit our website to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. You'll get it in your inbox every Friday morning. Plus, if you're on Facebook, you'll want to become a friend to the ministry there. And also online, you can download a free MP3 of today's broadcast, or sign up to receive the daily podcast of these programs. The web address again, fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and a big thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you'll be with us tomorrow as we close out the week and the month of messages designed to help you defeat the devil with a lesson entitled, The Devil's Playbook. Join us on Friday when we again open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.